Dennis Felger here at Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. You are the only thing that matters. Their goal is to treat every customer like their only customer. Check them out at cambridgesavings.com/corporatebanking. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
B-Pod Studios.
Nap. No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Mads arrive on a Tuesday.
That's still football season, Mads. You know what that means.
Big boy. Big boy Tuesday.
Craig Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. He's brought to you by Jarvis Ford. As John and Michael Jarvis like to say, honesty, integrity, and family. It's not just how we do business. It's who we are. Jarvis Ford, just off Route 2 in Ayer. So we know we're in the middle of the Alex Cora MLB situation, and so we'll monitor that. And if there's anything breaking today, you'll hear it when it happens, and we'll react to it as it happens. But in the meantime, we'll plow ahead with some football with Greg Bedard in the first couple hours and get to our developing opinions on Cora and that situation at 4. So that would be the game plan. And Greg, I want to start with something you wrote last Friday. I'm upset that I missed it at the time. I'm usually late.
Come on.
I'm always late on these things. If Boston Sports Journal had a print edition, I'd be able to catch up sooner. But be that as it may, you wrote about the Brady situation, and I wanted to follow up on this because I haven't heard anyone else sort of bring this up. And here you go. You write and you different facets of the Brady story and where it stands today or as it did on Friday. And you write, what about Stidham? What about Jared Stidham? He says, here's what I've been able to glean about how the team views Stidham. Certainly, for where he was drafted, Stidham had an impressive rookie season from camp and preseason to the work he did behind the scenes. But, you write, I don't get the sense the team is all on board the Stidham train should things go south with Brady. Do they think they could win with him? Sure, as a part-timer. But the feeling is very similar to what they had with Jimmy Garoppolo at this stage. He really needs another season to be considered a legitimate NFL starter. So there will be other quarterbacks who can start that are seriously considered. So you do not believe, as of Friday, that if it doesn't work out with Brady and the Patriots, that the plan is to go with Stidham. You think there is another plan in place?
Yeah, I think if Brady's gone, which I still think, I think Brady's going to be back here. But say he's gone, I don't think they'll go forward with just Jared Stidham's our guy. You know, we're going to draft maybe a guy in the second or third round, and that'll be it. Maybe we'll bring in some journeyman veteran. I don't think that will be it.
If Brady moves on, there will be a legit veteran placeholder who's the starter.
Stopgap.
I think so. I think at the least there will be I think there will be somebody at least who they view as more capable of starting right away than Stidham. Perhaps one of these guys like Eli Manning. I mean, I think.
Oh,
I'm just
be careful.
Why?
Yeah, the New York Post will put you in a headline. Go ahead.
But I actually the thought that I had that I haven't heard brought up a whole lot is, well, I mean, now you need to start looking at these teams that have changed administrations or made some adjustments. I don't think Cleveland's going to do anything with Baker Mayfield. I would certainly make a call, though, because, you know, now Paul DePodesta is in charge. And we've seen they've been, you know, Mr. Analytics. Like, if they, you know, draft picks, like, if it makes sense from an analytics side, I think they would be okay with trading Baker Mayfield. So, I mean, that would be among the things I would do. I think where you need to keep an eye on is Jacksonville. I mean, because they have Gardner Minshew, who I think you go forward with him. But they also have Nick Foles. He's making a lot of money, but if you can figure out some way where Jacksonville eats some of the money, then I think that sort of thing makes sense.
So I find this a development that I don't love. In other words, to me, moving on from Brady and going with a kid and resetting that position financially and all of that makes sense to me. And like that's sort of the whole idea. if I'm not going to pay Brady north of $20 million, then I pay my guy $800,000 and I let Bill Belichick take over and coach his way, you know, as far as he can with the kid and see where you're at. Like, that's, to me, makes sense. You know, Foles, I'm not sure what he makes, but...
He makes a lot.
Okay.
But, so, I mean, you got to find some way to do that and renegotiate the contract, something.
My point is, if I'm going to pay somebody, I just bring back Brady. And I'm not sure if that's the right thing to bring back Brady. So, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying...
Yeah.
If that's the plan, if you're going to have someone that you're actually going to have to pay, then you might as well keep Brady and pay him. That's how I feel about
it. No. And certainly cost, I agree with you. Certainly cost is going to come into this. I mean, if it's Nick Foles at $15 million, yeah, I'm not doing that. But if it's Nick Foles at, you know, $7 or $8 million, then I'm thinking about it. But, you know, there are other options that, you know, I mean, Josh Rosen wouldn't be the type of guy that you bring in as a starter. He would be more of a competition type guy. But I think they certainly have options. I mean, I wouldn't go like the Teddy Bridgewater route. I think he's going to get starter money. I'm not doing that.
I mean, what if Brady doesn't want to come back, though? And, you know, like, to me, that creates sort of a...
No, this is what I'm talking about. Then what's plan B? To me...
But my point is, when you say, you know, I'd bring back Brady, what if he says, you're not giving me enough to come back, I'm not coming back?
Yeah. So I've always said, I'd like to think that Stidham is the guy. It, you know, that's the best case if Stidham's ready. Apparently he's, well,
no, I mean,
what you're hearing, he's not ready.
From what I'm hearing, you know, they think he's doing fine. He had a good rookie season. They feel good about the trajectory that he is on. But, like, right now, you can't say that he's an NFL starter. I mean, he could be. I'm not saying he's not. But the feeling there is he's... right where Jimmy was in year two, which was, you know, carrying a clipboard.
I mean, and again, just so I'm clear, I'm not telling you they should start him if he's not ready. I'm not, you know, just start him at all costs, go with Stidham. Right. I'm not saying that. I'm saying ideally he's ready, and that's the guy.
I mean,
and then you're paying your starting quarterback $800,000, and you're way ahead of the game. And that to me is the best case scenario. If he's not ready, then you don't play him.
I mean, he's ready, if he's Lamar Jackson in, you know, the second half of his rookie year in a year two, then you don't even, I don't even think you think about re-signing Brady.
Right, exactly. If he's...
But that's not the case. I mean, I think both sides want to work it out.
Both sides want to work it out. Now you're talking about Brady and the team.
Yes.
So you think the team wants to work it out?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, define that. You think Bill wants to work it out?
Sounds like you're talking to the same people Gasper was talking to.
Well, I mean, I was saying this last week, you know, certainly around the season finale, the playoff, what I was hearing, and I hear that Brady feels like at the end of the day, the team's going to step up. And I know we're hearing some things about suites being cleaned out and moving and stuff like that. I still think this is all about posturing and leverage. I think it's all been about that.
Yeah. Did Greg Hill say this morning that Brady's moved out of Brooklyn and he's already
in
New York?
That's what he said. Mm-hmm.
And that they've cleaned out their suite, like cleaned out their suite?
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing, but is it? I mean, I don't know. I asked, nobody said anything.
Okay, I didn't hear it myself, but I mean, if he's already out?
I don't know if that's the case. Somebody told me that Giselle posted a Instagram photo of their dogs, and it was their Brookline house in the background.
So we have another Giselle post. Murray, you on this?
Let me look it up. Let's see.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I put stock in all that stuff. I think all that stuff is significant. You know, again, so Bedard, he just started to say it, but he wrote it, so I'll read it too. Bedard says, I think Brady believes, and perhaps he's been made to believe by some influential people in the organization, that the team will step up when the time comes and he'll be back with the Patriots. That's what Brady believes, and he's been made to believe by some influential people in the organization. So I'll read that as Robert says to him, don't worry, kid, we'll take care of you. Just sit tight. We'll take care of you. I mean, because who else is Brady going to listen to on that other than Robert or Jonathan?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's like, who's he going to listen to? I mean, Perillo? I mean, like, you know, he's been made to believe by some influential people in the organization that the team will step up when the time comes and he'll be back with the Patriots. So it feels like he got a wink and a nod from someone. That one, Fred Kirsch.
Yeah, Tom, you're good. They're bringing you back.
You know, Bedard says, even though it's very complicated when it comes to his contract and what he would get paid. So this is where Belichick comes in. You know what I mean? Again, do you think Belichick and the Crafts are on the same page?
I don't know if they're quite there yet. I mean, you think that this was decided months ago or whatever. I don't get that impression.
That's
I still
a no.
think they're formulating their plans on what they want to do. But I think in general, I think they have a general knowledge of what each other wants, and I think they're okay with it.
Yeah, to me, that is, I'd have a hard time believing that Bill's going to come around in any sort of 2-year deal. I have a hard time believing that's going to happen. And so, look, the Kraft's, to me, that's where the split is. Is Tom's going to want a second year guaranteed? Bill doesn't want to give it, and Kraft's going to have to decide. Like, he's got to pick one side or the other. That's sort of, to me, what it feels like.
But, Dart, how does the coaching play into all this? And when I say the coaching, I mean the McDaniel situation and all of that.
I don't think it was going to have any impact. I really don't. You know, I think that
if there was a new guy here, that wouldn't have fazed Brady one bit.
No, I mean, Brady can de facto run the offense in any event. But from what I was led to believe, not one way or the other. This was all the stuff that I heard about Brady wanting to be back. This was all before McDaniels, and he could have gone. He could have gotten the Giants or Panthers or Browns. That Brady. I think it's about comfort. I mean, I do. Like, and why Brady would prefer to be back here.
Well, what you first said is that it's about respect more than anything
yes.
else. What does that mean?
That means Brady just, I don't even think the money is all that important. I mean, yes, you know, the length of the contract. We've been here for years with Brady. But I do think if Belichick just, you know, said a few of the right things
to
Brady.
Just, if he just made nice
yeah,
and talked nicely to him?
I do think that would go a long ways.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that for Bill, that's a tough ask.
It is.
I'm not, I mean,
yeah,
it
I don't
sounds
even
simple,
know if it
but for him, it ain't all that simple.
No, you're not getting that.
Okay. So, so you don't think whether McDaniels is back or not does not play into Brady's return?
No.
Okay. What happened with Josh McDaniels there?
It was just not, it was not a fit. You know, the Browns had a choice to make what they were going to do in terms of how they were going to align their team. You know, basically, if you brought Josh McDaniels in, somebody like him, he was going to want synergy throughout the organization. And at the end of the day, the Haslams, who have gone way over on the analytics side, decided it's Paul DePodesta and his show. I mean, it's really ridiculous.
I mean, mistake.
They're talking about stuff where, you know, not only do you have the ownership meetings on Monday with Haslam asking questions about what happened on Sunday, but then you get to Friday in the game plan and you have to give it to the analytics guys who run it through their supercomputer or whatever and tell you whether this is a good game plan or not.
It's
ridiculous.
Stupid. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. All right, so all that stuff is true. We're going to talk Patriots here with Bedard. We'll get to his thoughts on divisional weekend as well. We'll do 3 up, 3 down later this hour, but we'll take your calls. I'll say this. If Stidham's not ready, then that's bad news for the Patriots. I mean, that's sort of like stating the obvious. But to me, not bringing back Brady and then just paying someone else is spinning your wheels. Spinning your wheels, letting Brady go, resetting the money at that position, going with someone young and cheap, and I'm paying my starter $800,000, and that's the guy that Belichick drafted, developed, and we're going forward with that. That all makes sense to me. Brady gone and then me paying someone else is like, no, I'll just pay Brady, and I think it's time to move on from Brady. I think it's, in some ways, the last couple of years has begun to stop working. Just the whole relationship of Brady and his coaches and his teammates and all of this. So I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move on to someone young and cheap and one of Bill's guys. I'm not ready to move on to Nick Foles. Eli Manning, though, you can talk to me about, as I mentioned last week. Your thoughts at 617-779-0985.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You will be a free agent in mid-March. Up until that time, you can only speak to the Patriots. Are you right now negotiating with the Patriots?
The contract things, I think a week after the season, I would say these things haven't even started to pick up. So that's really not my concern at this point. It's been about decompressing and resting my mind a little bit. And rest of my body and spending time with the people who have supported me over the last 6 months.
All right. Brady Watch, day 10. That's what we're doing with Greg Bedard in our Town Fair Tire Studios. If something develops with Corin, the Red Sox, you'll hear it here first. And we'll get right to it. We'll do it at 4 o'clock either way. When Bedard cycles out here, and Bedard has some thoughts about it as it relates to the Patriots and their cheating scandals. We'll do that in a little bit as well. Let me just quickly, you know, Brady's asked if they've started negotiating yet. I mean, I would if I were both sides. Like, let's get to it. And you know, I mean, for several reasons, because it's better for them money-wise, cap-wise, which I know you believe in, to get it done before the 18th. So it behooves them to do it before that date if you worry about the cap. I said this yesterday. Maybe you can answer this question. That what, you know, what they want to do is say, go to market, see what's out there, and then come back to us, like they've done with other players. Mm-hmm. But if you do that, that's after the 18th, and that's not good for them. You really want to have that happen before the 18th. Can they grant him permission right now to go talk to other teams?
I don't see why not.
I mean, see, to me, that would be the solution. So you just start this whole process now. You don't have to wait for the 18th. You're not bound to that deadline. Tom, you have permission to go talk to other teams. Have them call us. We'll grant permission. All above board. You go talk to these teams. You see what the market is. Come back to us. And this way we can start now. And that's what I think is best for them.
I mean, if there's, you know, if there's any way they can do that, they should absolutely do it. My only other question would be, and I didn't think of this yesterday, is there any danger there?
Such as?
What if he goes out there and says, finds out someone actually will give him 3 years and $100 million? We know the Patriots aren't going anywhere near that.
The sooner they know, the better. So if that team was going to give it to him on March 19, you're better off knowing on January 19, the way that it's structured and the whole thing, and then you can plan what you're going to do. You can plan the whole thing. The sooner they know, you better. And so I think it behooves everyone. I don't think there's any risk to it.
I do know that. And I will say, I do know the Patriots are doing some behind the scenes trying to gauge Brady's market.
So how? Give me something on that. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, they're going around and asking some people around the league, like, you know, so what do you think's going to happen? What do you think Brady would get? When do you think he would sign? That sort of thing. And, you know, there's some school of thought that if Brady hits the open market, he might not be in the first wave of free agents, that people, you know, might see what's out there. He could be out there for a while.
Let me ask you, if you polled 32 NFL general managers, including this one, 32, Breeze or Brady for the next 3 years, how many would pick Breeze? How many would pick Brady?
I think 75% of them would pick Breeze.
75% would pick Breeze. This is what I was trying to say last week. You know, I'm taking Brady, but I don't know if the league would agree with that. I mean, Breeze is a year and a half younger. Doesn't feel like he's as dinged up as Brady got last year. And that's just, and he's been more productive. He's been the highest rated quarterback in the league the last 2 years. So he's been much better more recently. Looks a little fresher, just a little. Is a year and a half younger. I think Breeze would have a stronger market, or as strong, and that's stupid. I'm taking Brady. But, you know, when you say Brady wouldn't even be in the first wave, is that what you're referring to? That if Breeze were really out there, he'd go first?
No, well, I mean, that's not what I'm referring to. I just think, you know, when you look at the situations that would make sense to Brady, and we've looked at him, there aren't that many, like, glaring vacancies where guys are like, yeah, I'm going to get a 40-plus-year-old quarterback. Like, we're ready to win right now. I mean, how many are there? I mean, even Tennessee.
Couple.
They're going to want Tannehill back.
Over Brady? That's so stupid.
I mean, it all depends on what the money is. If Tannehill tries to get crazy, then they might be calling
up
Brady.
If I'm Tennessee and Brady would come to my team, see you, Ryan. F you out. See you later. Nice little run.
So you think they would do that today, right now?
Oh, I would.
I mean, you think
that's
their plan?
What they would do. That's what I would do. Bye-bye. Bye.
Yeah, but it's not about what you would do. It's about what the Tennessee Titans would do.
I think it would be stupid to do that.
I think people are grossly underestimating Brady's market. Grossly underestimating it.
Maybe.
And I'm not picking on you, Greg. I just think that Tom Brady's on the market. There are people that will
you
take him.
You think Tennessee would take the cheese on Ryan Tannehill?
How many teams did Manning visit with? Manning was a guy who had neck surgery. How many times, for crying out loud?
I think he had two or three. He went to Miami.
So, and that took a while, too, didn't
it? Did he go to Arizona? I think he had two or three visits.
Okay, yeah. That's all it takes. I mean, you don't need much more than that.
Oh, if they take the cheese on Ryan Tannehill, how stupid. Contract drive, he's, you know, really managed. It's a running team, et cetera, et cetera. He's only asked to throw a dozen times a game. Like, don't take the cheese on that. You had a chance to get Tom Brady? I hope they wouldn't be that stupid. All right, your calls with Greg Bedard on this and whatever you want on the NFL, 617-779-0985. Tim and Quincy, lead us off.
Yeah, guys, I think the Patriots situation is completely personnel-related. They don't have a tight end in the receiver like all the other teams in the playoffs have right now. They don't have Kittle and Emmanuel Sanders. It's a personnel issue. That's why Brady and the Patriots are in disagreement.
Got you. Okay, Tim, I'm going to ask Greg Bedard this. If they gave him another crappy contract and Bill was still mean to him, didn't, quote-unquote, show him the respect, but they had Rob Gronkowski back and Antonio Brown back, would Brady come back?
Yep.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, what if they gave him the contract and kissed his ass and gave him the, quote-unquote, respect he's looking for, but it was Matt Lacoste and N'Keal Harry again next year? Would Brady come back?
Yep.
He would, right?
I think it's a sliding scale with all these.
Thank you.
And that's why I said this is my best guess on what the order is. You know, respect, chance to win, money. But I do think the OTA thing is a factor this offseason.
Explain.
Okay, so I know you've been on it the past couple years, even though they won a Super Bowl last year without him there. Didn't this year. But this year, I would want Brady. That, it would have to be part of the deal with Brady this year because they largely have what they're going to have at receiver. I mean, they're going to need a tight end, and they're going to need a speed element. But N'Keal Harry's going to be out there. Mohamed Sanu's going to be out there. Edelman's going to be out there. Myers and Olszewski, they're all going to be out there in training camp. Like, this is not one of those seasons like we've had the past couple of years where it's like they just bring in all these veterans at the last minute.
I'm stupid. They still have Olszewski?
Yeah.
I thought he was on IR.
They put him on IR.
Oh, why did I think he was released? Keep going.
But, Craig, I'll give you Harry, I'll give you Sanu, and obviously Edelman. Don't you think those other two guys could be cut?
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that they're – I mean, sure. I'm not saying they're they're going to be here. I think they're going to be here in the offseason at least. Until they go through free agency in the draft.
Right.
But if you just add a speed element to this offense and a legitimate tight end, because Lacoste has one more year on his contract, Izzo's here, whatever. Lacoste is a good backup. He'll be here. But you add a really good tight end and you add a speed element on offense, you have basically your pieces. I mean, you have to do a little finagling on the offensive line, but it's not any big step. So basically, this is one of the first offseason. The defense is where all the upheaval is going to be this year. The offense should largely have everybody coming back. So I would want Brady here this off. There would be no excuse for them not starting faster this year.
How do you think Brady's going to take that in the sit down when they start talking contract? Tom, just so you know, we're going to be doing a lot of overhauling the defense. So the offense is what it is.
Harry, Sanu, and Edelman.
Sanu, good God!
He had a rough go. I think the ankle sprain has something to do with it. But look, they traded for him. He's here for another year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he has a chance to be decent next year. N'Keal Harry, it's always year one to year two. He has a chance to be a lot better. Edelman's going to get healthy. Myers, year one to year two. I think he's going to be a lot better.
I'm on board with all this. I am.
But Brady's got to be here.
Okay, but, I'm on board with it. Do you think he is?
Yeah, Brady's got to be here as he unpacks his suite and moves to Connecticut.
Bobby and Bill Ricker. Go ahead, Bobby.
Hey, what's up, boys? Greggy Dog, you look beautiful, boy.
Thanks.
I was wondering, what's going on with Alex Smith? Is he...
Okay.
He's coming back from that, horrific injury.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how much he's doing at this point. And
so to me, it's all about the number. If Alex Smith comes here at minimum money, then fine.
Oh, his number would be really low.
If Andy Dalton's here at minimum money, man, I hate him. I can't stand Andy Dalton. But the whole point is to give Belichick someone. I was hoping it would be Stidham, that he would be ready. And that's the best solution. That's the best case scenario. If he's not and they can't work it out with Brady, then, my assessment changes the whole thing. And again, in this case, if we're talking about freaking Andy Dalton and Alex Smith, then Eli is someone that I would consider. But ideally, it doesn't come to that. Ideally, Stidham's ready. And you're saying you don't think that's the case. To me, that's the news.
No, I don't think that they would go forward with Jared Stidham's our guy. He's the starter. I don't see that happening.
So that to me changes it. Here's Murray's update. We'll do three up and three down from divisional weekend right after.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run them on a slant. with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. 3-Up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
3-Down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, we're going to do this on a divisional weekend and then get back to your calls. Mass is already smirking.
Oh, I'm ready to go. No, I love the intro.
He sucks. He blows.
There you go. It's a proper, representation of the Felger Maserati program. Here we go. The three stars, three studs, three duds from divisional weekend across the league. Who's your number one star from divisional weekend, Greg?
Derrick Henry and the Titans offensive line. Not one or the other. Henry's not doing that behind a bad line. You have to have a good line. It's the marriage between the two that makes this work. But he's just been just a force. I mean, that's three straight games now where he's over 30 carries, over 150 yards. It's been unreal.
Their line's awesome.
It is.
Their line's good. I went Russell Wilson number one. I of all the players out on the field, I don't know that there was a guy that played better with less around him than Russell Wilson.
Singularly carrying his team.
Tremendous.
I mean, I don't know if Henry even did that.
Tremendous. Because, again, he needs the line. To me, that team's all about the quarterback. I thought he was the best player on the field this weekend.
Back on Henry quickly. He's an unrestricted free agent. Where's the best landing spot for him? And would you pay him if you were the GM, Greg? Would you make him the third highest paid running back in the game? Would you put him behind Elliott and Gurley and, you know, give him one of those contracts and sign him?
Nope. I just don't believe in paying running backs. I mean, he should be back in Tennessee. They have a good thing going, but I'm not paying him through the roof. It's just not happening. I'll find another running back, especially behind that offensive line. They put enough resources with Taylor Lewan and the right tackle. I forget his name right now, but he was a top draft pick. They have a lot of pieces there on that offensive line. That's where the investment was. And so you just keep putting good running backs behind them.
Okay, amen. Second star.
Nick Bosa. I thought he was awesome in that game against the Vikings. I mean, you know, Cousins barely had any time. The San Francisco front just completely dominated that game and won it for the 49ers. And Bosa was the key to all that.
Pat Mahomes. Again, your team puts up 51. You're down 24-0. And granted, the Texans played into it, but Mahomes was dynamite. Four touchdowns in the second quarter. He ran on top of it. He's healthy. He hasn't been healthy all year. He's healthy again. The Chiefs should be watched. That's a scary team.
Third star.
Russell Wilson. I mean, if this didn't tell you this weekend, and I don't like to be one of these hindsight guys, but you know, it now became very apparent that Russell Wilson was the definition of the most valuable player in the league this year, because that Seahawks team is terrible. The defense is terrible. They can't cover. They can't rush the passer. The offensive line is terrible. He only has like one good weapon to work with, and he carried those guys. And that they had a chance at the end of that Packers game is all on Russell Wilson.
Derrick Henry. He was my third. He was a force. And by the way, you know where he'd be great? Seattle.
I was just going to say, did you have a landing spot?
Seattle. He'd be awesome. He's exactly what they want. A just bull power running back who knocks people over. He's perfect for them.
Boy, do I think Marshawn Lynch is overrated.
He's done.
Like yeah. This, like, oh, wee, beast mode, wee, throw Skittles, wee. Oh, Marshawn Lynch. All he does is his hair flops all over the place, and he, you know, grinds out an extra half yard on 2 yard runs. That's all the guy does. Like, wee, Marshawn, beast mode. Oh, it's beast mode for his 2 yard gain because his hair flops all over the place, and he tries. Like, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. So he tries, and his hair flops all over the place, and everyone gets all horny for beast mode.
What about when he was in his prime?
So freaking dumb. Yeah, he was a good. Yeah. He was a good player in his prime. But now it's like, yeah, oh, they got beast mode. Oh, this is so cool. Oh, clap vintage beast mode because he tried, and his hair flopped all over the place. Like, good God. All right. Anyway, three duds. Who's your number one dud?
John Harbaugh. I thought he was the coach that cost his team the most this weekend. I thought he completely mismanaged that game, and it was just another
How did he mismanage it?
Well, number one, he didn't realize what kind of game he was in, and he's one of these guys that just goes in with a plan, and he doesn't alter at all. I mean, look, they won 10 games in a row, won by over 20 points to end the season. He thought every game was going to be the same. We can go with the analytics. We can just barge ahead on fourth down. We could do the where he should have realized very early on in that game. Geez, our team's really rusty offensively. I need to buy them time to find a rhythm offensively, sort of like the Chiefs. Try to stay in the game as much as possible. Then we'll get in a rhythm, and then we'll do our thing. And they completely panic. 59 passes? Whoever on God's green earth thought that was a good idea? And the biggest sin in my mind, I didn't like either of the fourth down, but not kicking that field goal at 14-9, he should have done that. That blew the game right there, and I thought he was wrong on both fourth downs. He just should have kept playing the game and buying his team time, but he doesn't adjust. It's one size fits all. This is what the analytics says. This is the team that we are. This is how we got here. This is what we're going to do.
Good job. Give it a voice.
Like, no, you got to adjust. You got to feel your. You got to realize. Oh crap! This Titans team means business. Last week was not a fluke. They came in with an attitude. They're hotter than we are. Let's just try to survive this early onslaught. Not, you know, go for it on our own end of the field. All of a sudden, we're down 14-0. That was just dumb. It was completely dumb.
Number one dud, John Harbaugh.
Okay, agree with you with everything. I just need to correct you, though, Greg. He was not did not hurt his team the most. He hurt his team the second most. I would like you to repeat after me.
No.
Please just repeat after me. Please just repeat after me. B.
B.
O.
O.
B.
B.
Boob. Bill O'Brien. Boob. Bill O'Brien, number one. B-O-B, boob.
Second dud, Greg.
Bill O'Brien. I mean, but I don't blame him as much as Harbaugh. I mean, I do think the fake punt was just a terrible idea. I mean, that was awful. But I don't think I don't have the same viewpoint. And yes, I know Bill O'Brien. I mean, we don't talk a lot. But yes, I know him. I think he's a good coach. Not perfect. I wish he would get rid of the clipboard and calling plays and just manage the game. I think that's a big weakness for him. But I think he's a good coach. That fake punt was just wrong. But I didn't think, I don't view that as, oh my God, they had a 24-0 lead. He blew it. No, I viewed it as, it was the same reaction that I had to the Patriots trailing 28-3 against the Falcons. I was like, well, they're coming back. I knew the Chiefs were going to come back. And that they took the lead at halftime. It was 4-0. It was basically 0-0 at halftime. Then after that, it was what, 23-7? That was more like it. But I didn't think that just because they jumped out to 24-0, it's not like it was a great game plan.
Houston,
the Chiefs just vomited on themselves.
And then Houston helped them come back.
And then Houston did it too. It was the football gods evening things out.
No player's stock dropped more than Lamar Jackson. He's my number two.
Well,
Lamar Jackson. Okay, and again, you can tell me all you want about, well, you know, they passed too much, which you couldn't be more right, Greg. They threw the ball too much, but five turnovers? I count the two fourth down plays, and he was carrying on both. So, and not entirely his fault, but two picks, two fourth downs, and a fumble. Five turnovers.
Hold on. Just save your thought on Lamar Jackson. Give me your third, because we're tight.
Romeo Crennel. I thought he had no plan to slow up the Chiefs at all, and... I think, the Texans could defend the Patriots. All right. We know they had no weapons, but against anybody with weapons, they couldn't do anything. He had to figure out a way to slow them up a little bit. Do something. Get the ball out of Kelsey's hands. Something.
Offensive line of the Minnesota Vikings. They got abused. Abused. Once they couldn't run the ball, that game was over.
Okay, there you're three up, three down. We'll pick up thoughts on Lamar Jackson. Your calls on Brady still hanging on. Bedard in studio. So long commercial free segment is next. Stick around for it.
Boston's home for sports. Felger Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey. You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The owner of the organization, Bob Kraft, said earlier this week that it was his hope and prayer that you stayed with the Patriots or that you retire. Tom, you're the only one that can make that determination. You're the guy who can answer his hopes and his prayers. When will you make that determination?
Well, I think, like I said, I love playing football, and I love playing for this organization. So I really don't know what it looks like moving forward, and I'm just taking it day to day. So we're a week removed from the end of our season. There's a lot of time to figure these things out. I don't think any player or team is ready to make any commitments at this point. And I'm sure as the offseason progresses, you know, those things will take care of themselves.
Brady Watch, day 10. Greg Bedard, Tom Fertitta Studios. One of the things we're hitting on with him, 64 days until the contract expires, if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston. Also, the NFL weekend with Bedard, the coaching stuff with Bedard, and what he thinks and knows and believes about the Brady situation in New England, and that Stidham might not be ready year two, and does that change your thinking? It changes mine. But back to your phones, as promised. Here's Tom in Newton. What do you got for us, Tom?
Yeah, hey, guys, I want to ask you about Mike Vrabel. I mean, you know, you're watching this comedy of errors by some of these other coaches this week, and it just felt like Vrabel's like the only adult in the room. I mean, he doesn't have, you know, the most talent on his team, but he's got good enough talent. And the way that he's got those guys locked in, I mean, outside of the Patriots, you really never see that. And given what they did, you know, to New England and Baltimore, I kind of have to think the sky's the limit with them. What do you guys think?
Well, thanks. I agree 100% with your assessment that the Titans seem to be the only team in the AFC with their head screwed on straight. Everyone else is puking all over themselves. Buffalo the week before, Houston, both Houston and Kansas City, Baltimore, you know, like there's just, and the Titans are the one team that is just playing straight up smart football. Not the most talented team. Maybe they'll run into it this week and that'll be it. But Vrabel's got the only team out there that's in the AFC that's just playing legit poised football.
Simple.
I mean, yeah, and this also goes to the point I wanted to bring up about Harbaugh and his shortcomings. Like, I mean, give me Vrabel all day of the week over John Harbaugh. And you just saw that on Saturday night. Harbaugh panicked. Like, instead of having confidence, like whether it's 14-0 or whatever, like he should have had the confidence and the swagger to go to his guys and be like, don't worry about it. The way we play, we're going to continue to wear them down. We're going to be who we are. We're going to run the ball. We're going to grind it out. And eventually, we're going to take hold of this game. That's what Belichick would have done. And instead, it was, oh, God, it's 14-0. Like, let's start throwing every down, even though that's not who we are. He didn't get on the headset and tell Greg Roman, Greg, what the hell are you doing? We're only down 2 scores. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, we got off to a bad start. The guys are rusty. It's fine. Stay with the plan. This is what we're doing. This is what we want to do. And he just didn't do that. Where Vrabel, he knows exactly what's coming. It's not too big for him. If there's an audible here or there, he's fine with it. And he just oozes confidence where his players are like, he knows what he's doing.
We've got Tom in the car. What are your thoughts on the Brady situation, Tom? Tommy!
I was curious to know what's going on with Andrew Luck. Do the Colts still own him? Did he retire? And regardless, would he be a good fit for the Patriots?
Okay. Love the name, love the thought. He is retired, and if he does unretire, the Colts own his rights.
And there was word last week from his dad saying that he's comfortable with retirement and as he's not thinking about coming back.
So, and right, exactly. Oliver Luck said that. But to me, that's even secondary, Murray, to the point of the Colts would have to trade him to you.
Correct.
I think the Colts are trading you Andrew Luck.
No shot.
If Andrew Luck comes back, he's a Colt.
Yeah, no. Meanwhile, the Patriots can trade Gronk to the Steelers or the Ravens. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
So we can take that one off the list. Jerry in Murrayville, in Murray's hometown. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Mike, I just called to tell you that I'm definitely on your side as far as wanting to go with Stidham and see what Belichick can do. Because after watching the playoffs without the Patriots being involved, it's quite obvious that with any type of anything, Belichick can get us, you know, like you said, to at least to the division title. And then, you know, if he was in the playoffs, you know, he'd be like Vrabel. That would be the only.
Well, yeah, right. He'd be standing by the sideline with his team taking care of the football with everyone else puking on themselves. If they had just taken care of Miami, Greg, I think they could still be alive.
No, I totally agree. And that's why I was talking up the Titans once the Steelers lost and the Titans were the number 6 seed. I was like, oh, this is lining up perfect for the Patriots. You know, the Titans can go to Kansas City and upset them. And I think they have as good a chance as anybody is upsetting the Ravens. And all of a sudden, you're hosting the AFC Championship game. Except the Patriots forgot the win in Miami part.
Yeah, they couldn't stop Ryan Fitzpatrick.
One name I did want to bring up on the quarterback thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
What about Jacoby Brissett? Trading for him. I mean, I think he would be more ready to start. He would be cost effective. You know, he would buy some time. I don't know how much time he has left on his deal. Can't be much.
I thought he signed a 2-year contract.
He did.
Yeah. And
so he's got 1 year left.
Why would the Colts give him to you, though?
Why would the Colts?
They got to do something. The Colts. I mean, they know it's not Brissett is not going to be their guy. I think that Brissett is a better fit for the Patriots offense than he was for the.
I don't love his long windup.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean? I like a little quick release, short passing. You know, that's what I'm used to here. It's what I want here. I think Brissett's got a big windup there. That's my big problem with him. The thing with Stidham, I'm not. I just want to define this because I'm not telling you they have to go with Stidham. I want Stidham to be ready. The best case scenario is if Stidham is ready. If he's not ready, you don't go to him. You just don't go to him to go to him because you drafted him.
Right.
He has to be ready. And if he's not ready, that changes the debate. That changes the narrative for me. And to move on from Brady to another veteran, if the money's close, that doesn't make any sense to me. That veteran's got to be dirt cheap, man. It's got to be, like I said, $5 million, $7 million. You want to put on incentives that are not likely to be earned, that, you know, toll later on in future years. You could talk to me there. But if you're just going to go from Brady to another veteran, that veteran better be cheap, cheap, cheap. We've got Jim in Boston. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, I want to talk to the big boy.
Go ahead.
Last week you mentioned something about Belichick was available, whatever, from league sources. I'm just curious, like, where would you have heard that from? Because for the last week I've been thinking that you basically just made that up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I just made it up. Like, that's what I do. I just sit there and think about things. Like, what can I say? Like, obviously,
yeah,
I heard it.
Gets you clicked.
I didn't say
site. It gets you listened to. Could you just make it up? And then
yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, like yeah, follow along with, you know, some other talk show hosts. Go ahead. Keep listening to them. I heard it. I, as usual, when I come in here, I tell you what I'm hearing from NFL sources. I said I've heard it from two different NFL people. I didn't say it was going to happen. I said that they did, that the word around was, don't be surprised if Belichick could be available.
And what do you think happened with that?
Just, you know, they came, Kraft and him came to some sort of agreement that they're aligned. Yeah. There's no issues there.
I think it was Bill just letting yes. it out there so that Kraft knows if you mess around, there's always a chance I walk out the door.
So do you think that's in play, Greg? That if Bill gets, you know, overruled, usurped on the Brady decision again, that leads to a divorce?
It's certainly possible. Yeah.
Okay. This year?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, if Robert Kraft comes in and says, okay, Tom, we're giving you 3 years, $100 million, you think Bill's just going to take that?
But it's a little late in the ballgame to go anywhere.
So?
Maybe he retires.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, he'd suck it up for a year. So
probably,
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I mean, that's obviously a dramatic situation right there, 3-100. But even if it's 2-50, you know, I mean, even if it's that, I wonder how Bill reacts this time. And I can't believe Kraft would do that to him again, would have that happen a second time. So that's I do think that is obviously that is a subplot to the whole Brady story. Here's a Murray's update, 90 seconds, no commercials. When we come back, the Cora thing and how that relates to the Patriots and their cheating, what Manfred did and how that relates to Roger Goodell. Some thoughts on that. Again, right after Murray. And here is the latest on Cora, by the way.